source for everything paranormal, Para-X. The views expressed and the opinions given by the individual host and their guests do not necessarily reflect those of Para-X, its affiliates, or its sponsors.
The Gathering. The supernatural world can be a dark, intimidating, and scary place. We gather to shine light on the mysterious and misunderstood aspects of the paranormal world. We bring to the table years of experience as mediums, healing channels, and paranormal investigators.
We share true stories from our experiences to dispel fear where we can and help you discover the amazing layers that make up the paranormal world. You are invited to gather around the metaphysical table with us and discuss the worlds of the unseen on The Gathering Radio Show.
Good evening, everybody. Welcome to The Gathering Radio Show on the Para-X Radio Network. This is Heidi.
And this is Stephanie on this Tune In Tuesday.
And it's required that you say it with the Minnesota accent like that.
Well, absolutely. You know, every once in a while I try to talk without a Minnesota accent like right now, but it's really tough. It really
Like right long. Now, this is you without it?
Yes. It's Goodness. Tough. I can't do it. Can I just say, you know, I have that Norwegian grandma, you know, and that's the Minnesota accent for sure, you know?
Yeah, so, that's true. And it's like when we get around each other, it gets stronger.
Oh,
even if we don't have it otherwise.
Oh,
I know. As soon as you start talking with someone else from Minnesota, you slide right into it. Doesn't matter.
Oh, and when we used to be together all the time for these shows, your accent was as thick as mine. Come on. Because we were together for a half an hour beforehand, and we kept babbling. And you
I don't know what you're talking about.
Come on now. Yours is as bad as mine. Come on.
I know it gets pretty thick, but yeah, it's pretty funny to listen to a couple of folks. You know, there's a guy that I can't remember his name. I'll have to look him up. He does comedies online. I don't know, YouTube and Instagram, whatever. And he does spoofs on our accent and different things. And he's hysterical. And there was another one that just came out. I think it just came out, and it was the Siri for Minnesotans, because Siri doesn't understand our dialect or something like that. It was hysterical. So anyway, you'll have to look it up, or someone can find it, and I'll share it. Or we'll share it in the chat room. But anyway, yeah, it's pretty funny. But
yeah,
we get around each other, and I think it gets a little stronger.
Yeah.
Correct.
And it is true. Even Google has a hard time understanding us, too, because I know I have to say it very – I have to enunciate every syllable for Google to understand what I'm saying.
Well, yeah, because we say things differently here.
I know.
Oh, what do you do? How's your week been? Week since Tuesday, right?
Oh, I've been – yeah. Well, you know, it's a little warmer, so I've been outside walking great distances every day, and Carrie and I were out doing a little scouting around for squatchers. We're focusing kind of on urban and suburban cryptids this year, so we're out kind of looking for different areas to search, and we found a fabulous one that's really close to home. So, you know, it's easy for us to get out there then, you know, and there's just so much evidence that, what is it? I don't know. It's not people, you know, so... I think it's really going to be a good research year and a good subject.
Awesome. So, well, and technically, I think it is like 68 degrees warmer than this time last week.
Yes.
We literally have swung 68, almost 70 degrees.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah, since last weekend. So, you know, this is balmy now for us.
Yeah.
And, you know, I do want to say, I don't want to make fun of the cold, because I know there's a lot of people who have been suffering with the cold that just... they're not equipped to deal with it. And I'm so sorry that everybody's been dealing with that down south. And I've been praying and sending good energy and donating and all the whatever we can do up here. So, and my prayers go out to everybody down there, and any kind of loss that you guys have suffered. It's awful.
Yeah. But up here, we're kind of used to it. But this week has been a treat. I mean, it's been kind of warm since Thursday or Friday last week is when it started the upswing.
Yeah, it got to about 15 then, and it was felt like a heat wave.
It was. And it just, it's, you know, like it feels heat wave-ish. I mean, I actually, Carrie and I went for a walk out at the park today too, just at lunchtime for a quick, you know, 45-minute walk. And yeah, I got warm, you know, it's now we're. But I got to say, so last week we had Lori Nauman on from the Minnesota DNR, and we talked about how there was an egg in the nest, and now there are two. So yes. Will there be three? The egg watch is on, you know?
The egg watch. So it's like we're watching for the Easter Bunny. I mean,
that's pretty fun. And then just a nod back, we have Howard Garrett on every once in a while from the Orca Network to talk about my beloved orcas. And last week there was a surprise. Alpod, and the Alpod, her number is L86, and actually her name is Surprise. She had a baby. So aww. Now there are three calves in the J clan. So awesome.
Hey everybody, this is Heidi.
Really happy and healthy, and they're seeing all three babies around the island. So yes. We're excited.
That's sure cool.
Howard is just out of control, you know, and Dan too. So anyway, good news on a that bunch of fronts news. This week. Yeah, and I've seen Papa Owl a few times, so I'm thinking Mama must be okay, and the weather's, you know, getting warmer now, so all is good.
Well, we, speaking of animals, we have our bees here. I just have to do my little bee post because we do have bees that we take care of, and we decided to winter them here, which a lot of people, I was talking with someone about this today, that there's a lot of beekeepers in Minnesota and in the northern states that will, there's people who will take your hive and winter them somewhere else. They'll winter them somewhere warmer. And so they'll load them up on a big truck and take them to like California and set them in, you know, fields or, you know, orchards or whatever. And we decided to winter our bees here. It's our first year of having bees. So we decided let's just get them used to the cold and see what happens. And of course we took care of them. Tim did a really good job taking care of them and researching like, what does that mean to keep them warm? And so we put straw bales around the hive and insulated the hive, not fully, because you don't want to, apparently you don't want to trap condensation in there either, because they do keep it quite warm, and that wet inside would be promoting bacteria and mold. And so you have to be careful of that. So we left the top uninsulated and did some other things. And then we put a ton of food in there. And then we go in once a week and open up the hive and look, and usually this just heat rises up out of these things. They keep it so warm in there. It's so cool that they can do that. And then, but we didn't open it during the cold snap because we were afraid, you know, you don't want to let all that heat out and it's, you know, 38 degrees below zero, right? Because that's just cruel. You can't do that to them. It'll take forever to heat back up. So anyway, we didn't open it during the cold snap. And then Tim went out the other day and looked, and they're just moving right along, just doing their thing and eating the food. And so yeah, I mean, it's cool that they're eating the food that we put in there, because then that's less honey that they eat.
Yeah.
So that there hopefully will be more to harvest in the spring. Usually there's not a lot of honey in the spring to harvest because they eat it all winter. Mm-hmm. If it's cold, they can't go. And of course, they can't go anywhere to get pollen to make the honey, you know. So we loaded them up, and I think they're doing okay. They look like they're great. So it's exciting. We're excited to have honey this spring, our first year.
I can't wait.
Yeah. And then we'll have two more hives. We're getting some more bees, and then we're going to split our hive here. So hopefully we'll have three hives going by summertime.
Maybe I'll get a jar.
Oh yeah. Well, I hope we have honey coming out of our ears so that we have a ton of it for people, because I tried it last, fall. We were able to scoop a little bit out, and it was just divine. It was good, and they are doing a great job with the honey, little bees. Yeah, so I'm excited. We're excited.
A lot of good news this week, which is fabulous. On top, you know, which is always good, because we've had some bad news, you know, lately with everything else. So always good to talk about all the good stuff happening.
Yep, absolutely.
So tonight, Heidi, we have a couple of guests on that are just so fun. I can't wait to introduce them.
Yes, I'm super excited for tonight. Who knows where this show is going to go?
Right. So we have Willow LeMichon and Jezebel DeLuna on our show tonight. Hi, ladies.
Hello.
Both of them have been on the show before separately, but tonight they're both residents of New Orleans. And as you know, Mardi Gras should have been happening or should have happened by now. And so we thought it would be fun to have a talk about New Orleans because there's just, it's kind of a mystical, spiritual, supernatural place, which fits right in with the Gathering radio show. So ladies, welcome.
Thank you for having me. Appreciate it.
Yeah, we're super glad to have you guys here. And we are excited to talk about all things New Orleans tonight. So this is your specialty, and we are excited to talk about it, especially the Mardi Gras, you know, origins, maybe the myths, the magic, you know, that's kind of where we're at right now. And so I want to hear a little bit about that too.
Yeah.
Well, as far as Mardi Gras goes, it didn't really originate in New Orleans. Correct me if I'm wrong, it was Alabama, right, Willow?
Oh, really?
I'm not sure.
Yeah, I believe it was in Alabama that had the first Mardi Gras. And within, give or take a few years, then New Orleans started doing. But back then, it wasn't as elaborate or as crazy as it is now, because it was a way to kind of give back to people, and also it was a way of venting out, you know, and celebrations, the costumes. I mean, they would have their masquerade balls, and they would have their I think one of the old timer crews was Rex, is one of the ones that is still going on today, because some of the original ones ended up parting ways for whatever reason. But this was not the only year that Mardi Gras did not happen as planned in the city. I want to say it was either the 11th or the 13th. I know it's an odd number, but back during the Civil War, they didn't have Mardi Gras. The same thing during the World Wars, I think the first and the second one. Then there were a few political things going on, I think like in the 60s or 70s. Can't remember all the details. So it basically depends on what's going on. Yes, it is devastating mm-hmm. that we didn't get to go out and have the usual bang that we're used to.
Yeah.
But we celebrated in a different way. We had a movement came out as the House of Floats. So I participated in several crews. So this was my way of decorating my house so that people can come. And believe it or not, my roommate did tell me that there were people that came to my house to take pictures, and they were excited about the float. And I'm like, oh my God, if I knew that was going to be such a big of a deal, I might have tried to figure out how to put the night lights, because I had like regular Christmas lights out.
Sure.
But I couldn't figure out the color lights because, you know, we all know how I feel about technology.
Mm-hmm.
But it was just a different way of celebrating. You know, you may not have gotten, you know, yes, I did not get a ball gown this year, and I didn't get to, but that's okay, you know.
Mm-hmm.
We have to go with the flow.
Yeah.
But I still got king cake, so.
How long does Mardi Gras last? Does it start with Fat Tuesday, or does it end on
Fat Tuesday? No. Okay, so Mardi Gras season
Willow
starts,
shakes heads.
It starts on the 12th night.
Oh.
Which is the day of Epiphany.
Oh.
Or what is it also known as Delfana? I think in Italy that's what they call it, the Christmas witch. So depending on what your spiritual background is, January 6th. You know, just okay. That's where it starts. And for a lot of the crew members, we get usually our theme, what colors we are going to be wearing, or what we're going to be presenting. That's what usually it is for some, for a good portion of the crews. Now, there are crews that do parade out on January 6th. I believe Joan of Arc. And also there is the 12 Funny Fellows or something fellows that they go on a streetcar up and down St. Charles Street drinking. I'd never understood that, but, you know, that's okay.
Yeah.
And it goes all the way till Mardi Gras actually means Fat Tuesday. But we also have Lundi Gras, which is the night before, which is Monday.
Oh.
Which is Fat Monday. And so there's certain traditions that happen during that time. I believe the crew of Rex and the crew of Zulu, the kings meet up and they do some exchanging over by the river. And Mardi Gras is the day before Ash Wednesday. You got to realize this is a Catholic type of holiday. So it changes from year to year. Some years we have all the way until almost the end of March that we're still celebrating. This year we had it until the 16th of February. So then there's some years where it seems like it's the first week of February. I think the 6th or the 7th is the earliest it can be. And then it feels like you're getting all choked up because you just had New Year's and everything is all.
Yep.
But it's great fun. I mean, if you can catch a parade when it's safe, you know, that is an experience. But the real experience is when you ride on a float.
Oh, wow.
Not as a spectator. Spectator is great.
Yeah.
But when you ride the float, that is where you feel the power because you're like, I can give you something. No, I won't give it to you. You know, it's just.
Wow.
And so, the balls.
So, Jess, since you have the floats, if we come down, can we come on the boats with you?
Well, you would have to join a crew. Oh,
okay.
And there are different types of crews. Some of them are just male. Some of them are just women. Some of them are mixed. Mm-hmm. And then there's also the walking crews.
Mm-hmm.
And it just basically depends on how big your wallet is.
Yeah.
I'm not going to lie because it can be pricey.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, that's why I don't join them because I don't have that kind of money.
Right.
But to me, it's,
I put it on other things.
I used to do a lot of stuff for Halloween. And when I had my personal tragedy, Halloween became a different thing for me. So instead of spending all my money there, I just decided to do it at a different time of the year.
Mm-hmm.
And it is something to experience. Now, if you go to a ball, there is a huge difference than when you're invited by another crew member, by somebody that is part of the crowd, that part of the court, I'm sorry, and also when you get invited by the queen herself. Because it becomes... Not only is seating very different, but what happens on your table as well. And my first Mardi Gras ball, I was invited by the queen, which, of course, you know, I didn't care that the ticket to entry was really expensive because I'm like, oh, my God, I have to go. Yes, you do have to pay for your plate. That is something that a lot of people don't realize, but the experience, the ambiance, everything was just beautiful. So, I mean, I think that everyone should experience Mardi Gras in different ways, not always the same.
Yeah, I would love to come down at some point, and figure it out, and see what it's all about. You know,
but we parade all year, so you don't have. The way this Mardi Gras.
Well, and I know that too. I know that too about New Orleans.
I think you'd have more fun when it's not Mardi Gras.
Yeah.
There's less people, you can see more, and it's much more magical to me when everybody's not here.
Yeah. Well, I bet.
It's just too crowded. Yeah. I'm not a crowd kind of person.
It's the frat boys. The frat boys is the one that makes it hard.
Yeah. I bet. I bet. So, tell us about, Willow, tell us about New Orleans, because I know you moved there about a decade ago, right? Or a little over a decade ago. I don't remember exactly how long you've been there. But when you got there, you said you felt like you were coming home.
Yes. I had been drawn to New Orleans for the energies since probably about 1996. I guess I could go all the way back to when I was five when the skeleton people tried to invite me in. Yeah. So we can go way back.
Yeah.
But as an adult, 1996, I started having this feeling like I needed to go south. I was, you know, in a situation where I almost moved here and it fell through. And then I just kept thinking, I need to go to New Orleans. I need to go to New Orleans. Everything kept coming up. You know, the signs kept coming. And finally, when I got here in 2010, I'm like, I'm home. You know, it just felt like I stepped out of my car and I was finally home. Mm-hmm. But it's just the magic. And I really feel like all of my gifts have been heightened since I got to this city. Mm-hmm. And it's just such a magical, spiritual hotspot.
Mm-hmm.
And we walk through the spirits every day. There's more dead here than there are living.
Yes. Well, it's such a historical spot in America, right?
There's
so much that's happened there. And there's so many different religions that are also out there. I mean, they're right there. Like, you know, I don't think voodoo, for example, is something that people talk about in Minnesota. You know what I mean? But yet it's out there, you know, and and then there's the Catholic religion and the Christian religion, and they're all right there and they all exist side by side and everybody is cool about it. And it's not like, oh my God, you're one of those. No, it's all cool. You know what I mean? Which is awesome.
Now, we have a few groups that don't think it's all cool, but we laugh at them. So
actually I was in Mass on Ash Wednesday and the priest made an announcement, you know, there are people outside. When you leave, just ignore them. Just keep walking. Don't agitate them. And of course, automatically, I already knew who they were talking about because they do try to take away your joy.
Yeah. Yep. They're the ones with the bullhorns and the giant cross that they pull around telling us we're all going to you know where.
Yes. But when you say, I'm a santera, they look at you and they're like, what are you talking about? And I'm like, well, I guess you have to look it up.
Good
and
job.
he ended up walking away from me. I was bored. He ended up walking away from me because he didn't know how to deal. And of course, I was still bored because I was trying to have fun.
Yeah.
No, but sometimes it does get very violent. I have seen some violence.
Yeah, they can get bad.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I didn't miss that this year. I stayed home. I haven't been in the French Quarter for weeks. I like it. Yeah.
Well, and I can see that. You know, I'm not a crowd gal either, you know?
Yeah.
So I totally can see that. But yeah, I think Mardi Gras would be really fun. But, you know, also when I think of New Orleans, there's that movie that was out a couple of years ago. A very dirty little movie, but it was the best movie ever. It was called Girls Weekend. Do you guys know what I'm talking about? It took place in New Orleans.
Yeah,
oh my God.
Thais made me go see it. My godmother. She said we had to go see this movie because she met the cast. They went to her bar. When the movie came out, she's all like, no, you need to come. It's basically frat boys type of scenario when it's girls.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's the funnest movie ever. You know,
and I will tell you this much. There is no bungee jumping from one building to the next. No, that is
but
not
come
true.
On, that's what looked like so much fun.
Yeah, that was not accurate.
Yeah, because, we have nothing like that.
No, but because you have to think about safety issues, And drunk people do not think about safety stuff.
Yeah, makes sense.
And well, if somebody does like become, that, you know,
and if somebody does become injured, you know, you're talking about insurance liabilities, all kind. I know that's the boring stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
but yeah, no, that nothing like that. No.
Yeah, but it was a fun movie though, and they did show like the parades that are always happening and other things, you know, that go on there. So I mean, I thought it was a kind of an okay representation, you know, on Sundays.
I'll have to watch it.
Yeah, you will laugh. Oh, Willow. You know, Casey and I, we didn't know anything about it. We were watching one day, we were just flicking through the channels and we found it. And oh my God, Casey's, first of all, Casey's like, Mom, what are you watching? And I'm like, I don't know, but it's hysterical. And oh my God, it's like our favorite show now. You know?
See, we have a drinking game, a few friends of mine and I. Whenever we see either a TV show or a movie that's made here in New Orleans, and there is something that is not accurate, we drink.
Oh.
So if they're turning on one street and they end up on the other side of town, that is our way of justifying, yeah. Okay, I can deal.
I love it. I love it. So... So what is your favorite part of New Orleans?
Ooh.
Who are you asking?
Let's ask you, Jez, first.
Okay. So, and it's only because I was just reminded, very seldom do I get the opportunity to just take a moment for myself, because when you live here, you're going from point A to point B, that you don't get to take those brief moments like you did when you first moved to the city, or if you live somewhere else and you were vacationing here first, and it's just taking a walk by the river to go see Oshun. It was on one of the like 20 degree days. I was out in the quarters early in the morning before having to go to work. And of course I hear spirit that says, you're going to have your phone handy because you're going to take a picture. And of course I'm thinking, yeah, right. I am horrible at taking pictures. So I'm not the artsy fartsy that can be like, oh, that is beautiful. Let me take a picture of the sunset. My fingers in the picture, it wasn't a beautiful sunset. You know, that's me. And so when I was walking, sure enough, there was a spot where I was over by the river. I think it was during the end of summer, beginning of the fall, giving an offering to Oshun. Mm-hmm. And we were having a hard time finding a spot to give the offering. We ended up just throwing it from anywhere, just kind of like, you know, sorry, but we can't find a safe spot. And when I was taking that walk, I happened to notice underneath an area where there were some rocks, a spot where I can actually take a little walk to give an offering safely and not put myself in danger. And I'm like, I know we walked by here a few months ago and I've never noticed it before. So of course I took a picture of the spot so that I can have it as a memory, like this is the area, because nothing looks the same in the morning or in the evening if the sun is out or if it's overcast. It changes. And so to me, the river has always been that mystical, magical place where I can center myself, because there could be craziness going on the other side of the streetcar or the railroad tracks or whatever. But right there is where I have my connection.
It's the river. It's the water.
The magic. And of course, there is a thing that they say, don't drink the water or don't put your feet in the Mississippi. Otherwise, the city will claim you.
Really?
All I did was brush my teeth.
Wow.
I did not brush my teeth with bottled water. I brushed my teeth with the sink water because that's what we do, right?
Right.
The water still touched my mouth, and that was more than enough.
Yep. So Willow, is that maybe what happened to you as well?
What, the river?
Yeah.
No. No.
Well, but you had the water. You had the water in your mouth when you brushed your teeth, right?
So, oh, I'm sure.
It claimed you. I'm just saying.
Well, I'm not saying that it'll do that to everyone.
Right.
But that's what it did to me. Mm-hmm. Because I've seen people that want to be here and they can't.
Yeah. You know what? We're 30 minutes past the hour. We're going to get Willow. I'm going to ask you the same question after the break. This is the Gathering Radio Show on the Para-X Radio Network.
Your source for everything paranormal. Para-X. If you're looking for a truly unique podcast experience, we have you covered. Spirit Bayou with CJ Dunham airs live from the Third Coast in Southeast Texas on Tuesday and Fridays at midnight Eastern Time, covering Creole folklore and folk magic to strange paranormal activity to new equipment for the field. CJ Dunham is a Catholic swamp witch, a devotee to our Mother Mary in the Trinity, a true believer in our Lord, the Holy Ghost, and Christ. Peace be with your spirit and the spirits by you.
In order for the light to shine so brightly, the darkness must be present. Tune in every Monday at 10 o'clock for Dark Sun Rising on the Para-X Radio Network.
Kimberly Juarez with Cat Paranormal of Minnesota.
Hi, I'm Willow Lehman-Shunt, psychic medium, Dark NOLA Paranormal, New Orleans.
And I'm Jerry Ayers with Supernatural Investigators of Minnesota. And together, we are The Calling. Every Wednesday night, 7 p.m. Central Standard Time and 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, only on ParaXRadioNetwork.com.
Welcome back to the Gathering Radio Show on the Para-X Radio Network, and we're talking about all things New Orleans tonight. We're having loads of fun just hearing all sorts of neat stories about New Orleans. And Willow, I think it's your turn now.
Ah, my favorite part of the city. I would have to say I love so many different things here, but...
So it's a hard decision?
It's really hard, but I think the thing that I enjoy the most is going into the historical buildings that are haunted. Those are my favorites. And, like, they're all haunted. So it's like, it's not one specific one. But because I can pick up things with psychometry, it doesn't matter if I just bump into the side of the door or whatever. I'm going to pick up images of what was going on in that building. And it's just amazing. Mm-hmm. But... last night, I had the pleasure of going out with two of my young friends looking for their first new home. And we got to go into all of these different houses that I'm like, you're not going to want this one. Grand Central Station.
You know, yeah.
That's why they brought me along, you know, mm-hmm. to see which one was the most haunted. So they didn't want that one, you know, kind of thing.
Yeah.
But we went into a place last night that was part of the first... African-American university here, and it was, I think it was one of their dorms or one of their buildings of the university, and that place was like Grand Central Station, and that energy was so heavy, and I'm like, I'm gonna go outside. I couldn't handle it.
So it's been converted? Was it converted to condos or something?
Three condos.
Okay.
And they're very motivated to sell. I wonder why.
Yeah.
And that's what I see a lot of here. For me, if I don't have a haunting in my house, I feel very bored. So then I have to invite somebody in because I don't want a you know, empty house. I'm just that way. So I'm like, if they tell me a place is not haunted, I'll go, then I don't want it. You know, that's just how I am. But I love the haunted buildings. I love to go in every historical building that I can, especially the French Quarter. I mean, this one was outside of the French Quarter, so I'm telling you, the whole city is haunted.
Yeah.
But I love it. I just love the energy. I love connecting with all the spirits, and some are nice and some are not so nice, but it's just so interesting, you know? Yeah. And the architecture is just so amazing. And I love the French Quarter, but I also love, like, Esplanade Avenue with all of the beautiful mansions is just such a nice drive. And, you know, so that's what I love about the city. I feel like I'm back home, like from another time.
Yeah. That's what it seems like, right?
Yeah. It's another past life for me. Yeah.
So when you talk about the mansions, are those mansions that everybody talks about, the haunted district of New Orleans? Big old mansions and stuff.
They're all haunted.
I was going to say, everything's
a special district that really was just
the garden. There's the garden district.
Yeah, that's what it is.
Okay. That has to deal more with money than it did with haunting.
Oh.
But even the rich get ghosts. They just do. True. You know, it just comes with the territory.
Yeah.
Those old houses. They claim that, like, in the French Quarter, they claim that at least 95% of the buildings, if not more, have had at least one person die inside that building at some time. Sure. Well, that's kind of like when you have a city that's over 300 years old, because in 2018, we were 300. So what are we, 303 this year? Mm-hmm. It's like crazy, right? You're going to have a lot of dead people walking around. It's just way it is,
you know,
so every place is really haunted. But if you really want to see beautiful mansions, St. Charles Ave in the Garden District, absolutely gorgeous. But so is Esplanade Ave. They're they're beautiful over there too. So it's like, I love them.
That's cool. And I know you have some, last time you were on, Willow, you talked about some hotel that you did an investigation, and you thought, and we said we should do an event.
We should
do the gathering, and you know,
whatever. Fun. And we got to mix it in with the calling.
So that's the other thing we need to say is that Willow is one of the hosts of our sibling show, the Calling Radio Show, which is on tomorrow night at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. I should say. What are you guys talking about tomorrow, Willow?
Paranormal shows, and can we get possessed by watching them?
Ooh.
Okay.
Yeah, I know, right?
It'll be a good subject because I have heard people talking about this.
Right? Mm-hmm. We all have our own perspectives.
We do.
Our own ideas on that. Yeah.
We do.
But it'll be interesting. But yeah.
Absolutely. I look forward to that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it'll be fun too. So.
Yeah.
Karen in the chat room, when you were talking about your favorite part was haunted places and that you invite them in, if nothing else. And Karen says, you and Steph go where angels fear tread.
Yes. People always say, aren't you afraid to go in there? I'm like, no, move out of my way. If it's dark, get a flashlight so I don't fall over something. But yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, I love it.
Jerry's saying, not me. Hmm. Come on, Drew. You've been to, you know, that place that Sim used to go. And you.
It's okay. Honestly, Jerry can just bring a doll with him to keep him company. It'll be fine.
That's right. But I think we should do that. Wouldn't that be fun? It could be a whole thing. We could all come down.
Oh, yeah.
You. Jez can join in because that would be fun. And, you know, the whole nine yards.
Oh, totally. Yeah. But the Provincial Hotel is where I did one of my investigations, or two of them, actually. Mm-hmm. And the same spirits came through twice. The first time in 2018 or 2017, and then again just last year.
Mm-hmm.
It was really interesting. Yeah. And it's the same little girl.
Really?
Yeah.
Interesting. Yeah. So you gotta get that going, honey.
Yeah, I'll work on that.
Yeah. So, Heidi, you're up. What questions are you going to ask?
Well, I'm curious, what other times of years of the year do you find that you are most drawn to what's going on in New Orleans? Like, we were talking about Mardi Gras, and that's, you know, sounds pretty crazy. But what other times of year do you find yourself really being connected to what's going on in the city?
Wow.
Well, I mean, Halloween
is
another time where a lot of people come from all over the world. But it's more like the subcultural underground, you know, goth community. But there's different things going on different times of the year. I mean, the people that come in for Jazz Fest are not the same people that come in for Halloween. But then again, they're not the same people that come in for Mardi Gras. As a local, if you do not connect to every single time of the year, you're in the wrong place.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're going to complain about one thing or another. As far as connection goes, I mean...
Yeah, is there like one time of the year that you're like, oh, I love it when it's this time of year here. Like, I love all the other stuff, but this is my jam. Like, this time of year is the best.
I would have to say the fall. The fall. Because, okay,
so unanimous.
We don't get it like you guys do. We don't have this changing of the seasons. We don't have the, you know, the Indian summers or whatever. But what we have is in the air around late September, early October, the air will change kind of like the flow. There's a crisp and it's almost like, should I pull out my sweater or my shawl? But that aroma that is in the air, it's what captivates you mm-hmm. into, you know, that just around the corner, it's celebration after celebration. It feels like Christmas, birthday, every single thing all at once.
Cool.
It's in that little, I can't say an exact date because it changes year by year. You just, as I'm sure Willow will add to it, but as a local, you just feel it and you know, like, okay, you guys had your fun, now it's my time.
Mm-hmm. I'll tell you the favorite. The full moon in October mm-hmm. through the full moon in November, that's my favorite time in New Orleans because there's no veil for me to have to deal with. I can talk to whoever I'd like to.
That's absolutely true. But have you guys noticed that because of all the deaths happening with this COVID business, that the veil is still pretty thin and there's so many holes in it? It's not, don't you wonder, is it ever going to thicken up? Because, I mean, I'm seeing stuff all the time, you know?
Well,
so down there, you know, I mean.
It's been a little crazy, but I think I've stayed out of the French Quarter most of the, you know, and stayed in my house or out in the garden. And mm-hmm. so I haven't really been in touch with it as much because mm-hmm. of COVID. You know, they've kept us isolated to keep us safe. And so for me, it's kind of like I'm not there. But when I have gone out to the French Quarter, I can tell you the energies have changed. And like, I will have spirits walking up behind me and talking in my ear that never would do that before, even with my protections.
Mm-hmm.
And they're kind of aggressive spirits at times. And that's the other reason I've kind of stayed home. It's like, I don't like that.
Yeah.
Well, somebody pointed out to me that about every 100 years or so, there's always some kind of catastrophe of some sort, mm-hmm. illness, pandemic, plague, whatever. And it's almost like the angel of death has their time and they have to hit their quota. Not really, but you know. And so this is the time that the angel of death is doing their thing. So all you can do is sit and wait. And then once everything is settled, then we're there to pick up the pieces. We're there to help heal or, you know, encouragement or whatever the case may be, because no situation is the same.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think the angel of death is a little greedy this time. Just going to say.
No, actually, I've been doing some studying and some research because, you know, when you don't have nothing else to do, you dig, right?
Yeah.
And it seems like that it almost seems like it was part of an agreement that the angel of death has a time or a season. And this is a season. And it's almost like to bring balance. And it's almost like to keep it at bay for a long period of time, as opposed to constantly seeing it. Mm-hmm. You know,
interesting way to, I mean, really, I mean, let's, so, you know, in the early 1900s, like 1918, it was the Spanish influenza, right? So it has been about 100 years. And I almost think that the number of deaths from that is far greater than the COVID deaths. I don't, you know, I could be wrong, but I have heard different things, and I haven't done any research, so I don't know that, but that's what I've been told. So that does kind of make sense, right? And then probably in the early 1800s, there was the plague, right? Was that the 1800s? I guess I don't remember. But yeah, that's really something to think about, isn't it?
Yeah, it's an interesting story that I'll probably tell you guys at some point, because it's long-winded.
I love it.
How else are we going to get more ghosts in the city, you know?
Right?
Sorry.
Right. Yeah, Karen is saying there were many more lives lost in the influenza pandemic of 1918.
Yeah. And it lasted longer than 1918. Yes. People just don't realize that. It lasted, 2 years, didn't it?
Mm-hmm. It was a long time.
Yeah.
So. So how did you two meet? Because you guys are really good friends.
I don't think we remember.
You don't even remember? Because it's been too long.
Okay. Well, you know, I've been in the city. This is my 21st. Year, which means I am old enough to drink now. That's what I told my husband. He was like, okay. And so I worked at a wine cellar at that time, and so there's many people that I met while working on the wine cellar, or when I got off work I would walk by the square. And so, but you didn't set up right away on the square when you first got here.
Beginning of 2011.
Yeah. And if you worked at one of the restaurants, then you probably would have came to Sydney's at some point.
Nope.
But then again.
I did it.
You do have the same tattoo artist.
Maybe it was Nikki. Maybe that's how we met.
So, I mean, when it comes to, it's really hard to say unless you,
I don't know.
And back then, social media wasn't what it is today.
Right.
So
probably through friends. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't remember. Oh my God.
Because I do remember seeing you on the square. I do know that. And I know that we do show the same tattoo artist, and I know, you know, but you're talking about a long time ago. I mean,
10 years, remember. My age. I don't know.
Yeah, I barely remembered what I did last week.
I don't even remember yesterday.
You asked me what I had for breakfast. What? I don't remember. Was it
I had breakfast? You know,
I don't remember. Okay.
that's so funny.
But I would say the common ground was, she was a spiritual advisor. I was a spiritual advisor. She decided to jump and say, this is what I'm doing full time. And I was like, no, I like to have my stable job that I go to all the time. And I do the readings on the side. That's my little extra. Mm-hmm.
We call that lanyap.
Yeah.
You call it what?
Lanyap. That's a little extra. Mm-hmm. But I did a lot of events. And so Halloween was usually the time when I did the events. Willow helped me in a few of them. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's just been, it's really hard to tell.
Yeah.
It's a long time.
And that's okay. Yeah. That's that's okay. Sometimes, Heidi, I wonder how you and I met, because I don't even remember that. And
I have no idea. Yeah, yeah, I have no idea, actually. I don't even remember how long ago it was.
I don't even either. No, I know. It's been a long time.
Because it was before we did the radio show.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean,
before we started that, and that was how many years ago?
Something with paranormal, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure it was. Probably some group thing got together and met that way. And
anyway.
Who knows? Yeah, isn't that funny? You just start to lose track when you've met people and how you meet. And
Yeah. Well, and you guys, so we should talk a little bit about what you guys do. So you're both spiritual advisors. You give readings, tarot card readings, psychic readings. Do you want to share your information? And I'll put it on the chat room. Willow, do you want to start?
Of course. Well, Willow Lema Shant Spiritual Services is what people know me for. My business is actually called the Divine Source Spiritual Center. And so you can find me on either of those pages, on Facebook, I'm on Instagram. Also, willowlemashant.com is my website. And you can, you know, ask me for readings through my phone number, which is on there for texting. You can text that number to set up an appointment. But I do psychic readings. I use tarot cards as my focus tool. I connect with spirit guides and higher beings. To get information. I also am a medium, so I also connect with deceased loved ones for my clients. I'm a Reiki master and ordained minister, and I kind of, you know, do a lot.
Yeah. And you teach Reiki and stuff too,
yes.
Right? You do teach classes.
Yeah, I do. Mm-hmm.
So you just kind of do it all. So I've put your website out on the chat room and your couple of Facebook pages, and so hopefully people will contact you for some readings.
Cool.
Well, thank you. And Jez, how about you?
Well, I'm also a spiritual advisor. I do readings as well, but I also do cleansings. I have this belief system, if you think you're cleansed, you're not cleansed enough. Mm-hmm. Because we pick up things when we go places or stuff like that. The readings that I normally do are cards. And when I say cards, it's because I started with regular playing cards. I picked up tarot later. But I do cards, palm, tea leaves, egg readings are the main ones that I do. I also am an ordained minister. And recently, through one of Willow's classes, I did become Reiki initiate, how do you call it?
You're a Reiki 2 practitioner.
There we go. I didn't know how to divide vocabulary. I do teach, but I teach metaphysics. I have a few students. And I mean, as far as what I do, it's basically what spirit tells me. I can't really say it's my idea to do this. No. Spirit tells me where, and if I'm not there yet, it prepares me so that I can be what I need to be at that particular time. Mm-hmm. I am on Facebook and Instagram under Spirit of Avant-Garde or Jezebel DeLuna. And I do, right now, because of COVID, I'm only doing phone and video chat readings, not necessarily in person, because, you know, I think safety first.
Yes.
As far as touching with that inner medium, it's part of my religion, so I don't necessarily offer that as a service unless spirit tells me that I need to so that they can heal or find closure, which is very rare. But there's so many other things that I do. I'm also an artist. I like to create. Recently, I started doing gardening.
Which Willow does too.
Yes.
You guys both are together in that.
Yes.
Yeah?
And most of my plants died last week.
Yeah.
So hopefully I can recoup.
And
just, you know, I like to create. That is
my main, and it doesn't matter the medium that I do, but that's things mm-hmm. that I enjoy as well.
Awesome. Well, ladies, this has been so fun. Heidi, is there anything else you want to ask these two girls when we have them on?
I don't know. I mean, we could probably talk about New Orleans for days Ever. Or weeks. I think, you know, I've been there once and I loved it and I do want to go back. But yeah, it was definitely an interesting place and there's so much to discover when you go there. So I would imagine that, you know, once COVID is releasing its grip, you know, or we get a better handle on it, you guys will be back out and probably exploring all of your favorite little secret places that you probably have down there as well.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And like we said earlier, we have to put our plug in for the Calling Radio Show tomorrow night. And Willow is one of the hosts on the Calling Radio mm-hmm. Show. So she has that to add to her repertoire. So,
yep. Can't forget that.
No. So, and tune in tomorrow night because they're going to talk about a lot of things, paranormal shows, but can you be demonized by watching them? That'll be an interesting conversation for sure. So, Heidi, what else is going on?
Well, let's see here. We have 3 minutes, so yeah. We can't have a lot going on, can we?
No, I know.
I'm like, wait a minute. Exactly. What time do you think it is?
I know, right? Oh, gosh. Road trip. Anybody, yeah, Karen is saying road trip. See?
Does anybody have any questions from the live chat?
I haven't seen any.
I didn't see anything either.
Yeah.
Oh, yes, Sherry, you can message me. That was the question.
Yeah. No, a lot of people are talking about when they were in New Orleans and when they went there. No questions, which is unusual. Usually there's a lot.
I think
lot.
Everybody's just tuned in listening.
I think so.
They're just on every word.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. So you guys have done a great job and, you know, describing New Orleans and what happens down there. And how do you pronounce New Orleans? Am I saying it right?
You are New saying Orleans. It correct.
New yeah. Orleans. It's like New you're Orleans. Saying one word. You're saying one word. New Orleans.
New Orleans. Yeah. Yep. That's what I thought because a lot
and
of people,
people
like
say
to
Nala. No, wait. What? Nolans. They
that's wrong.
Deserve to be slapped in the face, like oh, or the back of the head. Like really, really.
Yeah.
New Orleans.
I love it. And then that big lake there is called the Pontchartrain, which I think is such an odd name, right? They're always talking
yes,
about
but
those
the
hurricanes.
But Ponchatoula has a beautiful strawberry festival.
Oh.
That's the same weekend that we have French Quarter Festival.
Oh.
So yeah, they have, canceled this year. Well, no strawberries yeah, for us.
Oh. Darn.
They go, right?
So if you want to send us strawberries, we gladly appreciate them.
I bought seeds, but it's going to be a while.
Yeah.
I know. I need to look for some. I'm like, yeah.
Well, and, you know, Karen is saying, you know, road trip. And I'm saying, yeah, you guys just never know. You might
See,
have an
I'm
influx of
you,
these crazy
trip.
Minnesotans down there, you know?
That's fine. I've had people from all over the world come here to hang out with me. Let's do it.
Yeah. With the thick Minnesota accent.
Honey, I have friends in Manitoba.
Oh, there you go. There you
oh,
go. Yeah, for
don't
sure.
You know.
Yeah.
Oh, for sure.
Oh my gosh. Well, yeah, it would be like the girls' weekend, I think, with all of that.
Yeah.
Really fun. So Heidi, I guess we should probably kind of wrap things up since
I think
only
so.
A minute left.
I think we gotta wrap this baby up.
So thank you, Willow and Jezebel, for being on again. We'll do this again at some point.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thanks, gals.
And thank you, everyone, for listening. And the troops, if you're out there, thanks for your service and be safe.
Absolutely. And everybody in the chat room, thank you so much. We had a few side conversations. Thanks for your contributions and for tuning in. We also appreciate everybody out there, wherever you're at. Stay safe and healthy. We appreciate you so much. Para X, thank you for hosting us. And Sarge, our most amazing producer ever, thank you as well, as always. And we are looking forward to being back next week.
Yeah, for the Paranormal Smorgasbord.
The Paranormal Smorgasbord is next week, so we will see you all there. Have a great week and stay healthy.
Night, everyone.